Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Good afternoon, Lax fans. Steven Berger here from Inside Lacrosse. Back at it with this week's Inside Lacrosse Preps Podcast. Excited to be back online, back on the wire. For those of you that tuned in, last week was our first week of our Inside Lacrosse podcast kicking off. The IL Preps had a great kickoff with our annual weekly poll review on top of our second segment, which was an interview by Terry Foy with myself, the one and only Steven Berger. I am taking the reins this week and back in the pilot seat. And next to me this week is a good buddy, a great friend, a teammate, somebody who I can say is really done some great things in the game for not only the sport in his own backyard, but now he's moved out to the Midwest and really taken charge out there with growing the sport, and that is Kevin Boland. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Kevin, just to give the fans a little quick snapshot of our history, Kevin is a buddy of mine who grew up just down the street, actually came over after a second grade class and threw my baseball mitt out the window and handed me a lacrosse stick. I think it was either an M1 or a high wall, Kev. I can't really remember exactly what stick that was, but you definitely were the one who really got me involved in the sport, and I know it's been such a huge passion of yours growing up. What is it about the game, Kev, that is really so special to you and why you continue to involve yourself in this game?
Well, I think, growing up, I had a father, obviously, who played, lacrosse at the University of Maryland, so, I had a stick in my hand pretty much at birth. And that's kind of what made me fall in love with the game, just at an early age. When I look back, playing lacrosse at a young age, and that was how I got good, was just being around, my dad in the backyard and him just introducing me to the game and bringing me to college lacrosse games on the weekend, to Maryland games, to Hopkins games. When you grow up, in an area where we grew up, there's so much great lacrosse just right around the corner. Being able to drive a half hour and go to Hopkins or Loyola or Maryland or Georgetown or any of those schools kind of in the Baltimore, D.C. area. That would be the first thing, just, being around my dad growing up. And then the second part of it, which is still true to this day, is all of, just being around my friends and being around, my closest friends in lacrosse are guys who were my teammates, guys who I grew up playing youth lacrosse with, who I played in high school with, who I played, in college with as well. So I think the biggest thing for me is just the friendships that I've made and the people that, have introduced me to lacrosse. I was blessed growing up having great youth coaches, coaches that were very positive, who, kind of pointed me in the right direction and made it a great experience for me at a young age, which then just resulted in me falling in love with the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, just to go down sort of your resume, Kevin Boland is one of the, in my mind, most underrated midfielders in the game in terms of what he does, not just with the ball in his stick, but also without the ball. Kevin is from Baltimore, grew up in Howard County, coming up the ranks in the Cobra Youth Lacrosse program, but then ventured off over to the Baltimore area and led the Gilman Greyhounds. How many championships did you guys win?
We won two my sophomore and my senior year.
So, leading the Greyhounds to MIA championships, and then just headed down a short little trip down Charles Street, where he had an unbelievable Hopkins career. And as he mentioned there, the teammates that he surrounded himself and longship friends that he's had through the college and high school ranks. Kev didn't stop there, though. He headed off into the MLL. And I believe you have a good amount of teams underneath your belt when it comes to the MLL. That whole phase of the game that keeps you involved. But I think, you know, more importantly, you know, your roots really led into the coaches' ranks where you really found your home and really now where you seem to find a good fit and where you're giving back, you know, from, the coaching ranks up in Vermont, to now where you are at Titanium Lacrosse in Ohio. So, you know, just that whole bio, you can give us a little sense of really what you're doing now, Kevin, with Titanium and, you know, what you're up to with the growth of the game in the Midwest?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, obviously my playing career, you know, was where I started, you know, and then, you know, just I was lucky enough, like I said, growing up to be around not only so many great players and smart players, but a lot of really great lacrosse minds, just overall. I remember, you know, John Tucker was a guy who got me the opportunity to play lacrosse at Gilman, where I was able to play with guys like Ryan Boyle and Damian Davis and Andrew Ferrone and Lance Zimmerman and just guys who were really smart lacrosse players and knew the game so well. And then that obviously propelled me to have the opportunity to play at Hopkins, where I played with some really great players there. You know, Connor Ford, Matt Rakowski, Kyle Harrison, you know, Benson Irwin, really just guys who grew up around the game and had kind of the same mind that I did. And then that propelled me just to really just have a ton of knowledge. And then obviously playing for Coach Petromala at Hopkins and kind of just took it to a whole new level. And that is really what kind of has molded me into being, you know, knowing all the stuff that I do about lacrosse. I can't really take credit. I have to say that my mind is kind of a byproduct of a lot of different minds, different great minds, just having the opportunity to play with great players and four great coaches. With the way that relates to my job now is, you know, taking that opportunity and making it into a career here at Titanium, where what I do, basically, I'm the director of player development and recruiting. So I am responsible for putting together the curriculum that helps us develop our players. It's obviously something that takes a lot of time and thought as the game is constantly changing. You know, just changing in every phase from the rules to the way the game's taught, and all that stuff. So it's something I'm constantly staying ahead of, just by watching college lacrosse and being around lacrosse. And then the other part of that is the recruiting aspect, where it's my job to, mentor and kind of guide families through the recruiting process, whether that be Division I, Division II, Division III. My job is just to help them navigate through all the rules and all the things that can kind of help them get the recognition that they deserve. And a lot of the recruiting process is not really, you know, my job is not to make sure that the kids play Division I lacrosse or play Division I lacrosse at an ACC school. My job is to make sure that we find the right fit for them. Because, you know, if you look at the statistics with recruiting, you know, very few kids are going to have the opportunity to play Division I lacrosse. You have 67 programs, 12 to 15 kids, in a recruiting class, and you have over 150,000 high school lacrosse players. So my job is to find the right fit for the kid and for the family based on his academics, his profile, you know, kind of geographically what he's looking for. So it's really something that I enjoy doing, because I think it's an opportunity for me to educate a lot of people on the landscape of college lacrosse and, in addition, the landscape of kind of player development and how to become a great player.
And with that, I mean, the recruiting world from when you went through it is drastically changed to where you are now, sort of seeing it, from a larger perspective, from the outsider's view looking in. And, you know, it's definitely, as you mentioned, an important piece to these kids' futures because there are so many opportunities for kids to play lacrosse in college. And you hit the nail on the head in terms of the right fit for that player, you know, and making sure that, you know, he has, you know, sort of the right tools so when he gets to that school, you know, he can contribute. Because, you know, yeah, there's 67 D1 schools, you know, there's over 200 Division III, and then there's even opportunities outside that if kids wanted to play at a big time university that may not have it as a recognized sport. You know, there's still a large portion of players playing club lacrosse. So, you know, that's a great piece, as you added, just finding the right place for that player.
Yeah. And you really have to, when you're going through the recruiting process, I mean, I've had this conversation a lot with families, and just, you have to be realistic, and not just, and you have to be educated in knowing that, you know, playing Division I lacrosse is an awesome opportunity, but there are also schools at the Division III level that could probably compete with a lot of some of the teams in Division I lacrosse. So it's kind of skewed. A lot of people think that the worst team in Division I is automatically just a better team and it's a higher level than the best team in Division III, and that's not the case at all. It's somewhere kind of in the middle. So a lot of it is also educating them on just because you're playing Division I doesn't mean you're playing at the highest level you could possibly play at. So it's something that is just kind of a constant dialogue between myself and a lot of kids and their families, and just helping them make the right decision.
And to that, Kev, you know, we look at the landscape, and you and I being both a small percentage that went off into play professional lacrosse, or, you know, have sort of surrounded ourselves with lacrosse as a career. But, you know, reality is just as you mentioned earlier about kids going Division I, you know, the larger percentage are not going to go and play professional or going to play and surround themselves. So the most important thing that they could do is really look at the education, of course, that they're going to receive, and then how that balances out with the program. And I'm sure the conversation with parents about, you know, the education being primary, and then looking at the, you know, secondary of, okay, the program itself, you know, are they Division I? Are they practicing, you know, 9 months out of the year? You know, is it a morning, mid, and night kind of a regimen that they have to get used to? Whereas some of the D3 programs may not be as regimented and may have a little bit lighter of a load as it pertains to the lacrosse, you know, dynamic. So, yeah, you make a great point of the sort of just explaining sort of the reality of the situations and then, you know, allowing the kids to see where they will fit best.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's all about what's going to put you in the best position when you graduate for your future. You know, even the guys that, and you know, Steve, even the guys that do go on to play in the MLL are not making a living doing that. So even if that opportunity comes along, you need to have something that's quote unquote, you know, a full-time job, something that you're kind of passionate about that you've invested time in. And the way to invest that is to pick the right school that has the right major and the right, that's going to put you on the right path, when you graduate, not necessarily just to play at X school at X level. That's a huge thing. When it comes to it, and a lot of families recognize that and understand that. And one of the things that we kind of find sometimes that happens is, you know, there might be a kid who thinks he wants to play lacrosse in college, but he's also a really high profile academic kid, and maybe he applies to and gets into a few schools that maybe don't have lacrosse, but they're really, really great academic schools, such as Stanford or, you know, Purdue or schools like that. And then they get into schools like that on their own academically, but their options for lacrosse are kind of maybe schools that don't fit their academic profile. So there might be a school that really wants them to go there, but they don't really have the major that they want, and they don't have the they don't have really the resources that they're looking for. And a lot of times those kids will decide, okay, well, then I'm probably just going to go to college and not play lacrosse. And that's okay. That's not something that, if that's the decision a kid comes to, then I've done my job. And I've educated them the best that I can on the process, and they've made the best decision based on what their future is and what it holds for them. So it's really interesting to see every kid's going to get recruited and going to get interest from different programs. And you have to decide whether or not those are programs that really have what you want academically and everything, or if you're just making a quote-unquote lacrosse decision. Yes, it's interesting to think about.
Again, we're here with Kevin Bolin, who is the director of development, I should say player development, but also, as he was just mentioning, the recruiting side of the game, which seems to sometimes probably take more of your time, Kev, than you would want. I'm sure the fun side of it is the player development side that you instill and that you really, as you mentioned, learn from your grassroots.
To be honest with you, it's very rewarding on both ends.
Sure.
The recruiting side of it is probably the most rewarding because I can really help kids get opportunities maybe otherwise that they might not.
I'm back here with Coach Bolin, and we're talking, about the ranks in which he leads Titanium Lacrosse, and as he mentioned, the recruiting piece being very rewarding, and the player development piece being something that he learned from a young age. And Coach, one thing I'm interested to hear about, myself being a coach, dealing with high school players, what are some of the you mentioned you had great coaches in your career and that you've learned from. Can you give us a sense of, what those lessons were? Maybe some of those things that you really took away from those coaches and really maybe what are those lessons that you're instilling right now in the players you're working with?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing with youth lacrosse and middle school lacrosse, and even when you get up to high school and college, as it gets more serious, is that the first thing you need to do is with a new player is make him fall in love with the sport. He has to have a great experience. He has to experience some level of success at an early age, which then gets them hooked. Then from there, they need to experience, that player development time. They need to be taught maybe the right way to hold their stick, the right way to change hands, the right way to shoot the ball. And those were all things that, the first and foremost, what my youth coaches did with me is they made me fall in love with the sport. And they gave me a level of success. And, I'm not going to sit here and say, you were on some of our youth teams. It wasn't all about winning. We won some games, but we also lost some games. And I think there were very, very valuable lessons with winning and with losing. To go through an entire youth year or through middle school and not lose is detrimental to a kid's development. And you need to experience the right way to win and the right way to lose and the right way to succeed and the right way to fail. I think are things that I really took at an early age growing up in youth. And then obviously, when you get to high school and college, if you still don't love it, if you still don't love lacrosse, and you still don't love practicing, then you're probably not going to love playing in college. So I think the most important thing is, again, that you have to love to practice and be around your friends and your teammates and your coaches just as much as you have to love playing in a game or playing in a Final Four or playing in, a high school game. I think to this day, we have our own facility now with Titanium. I still love to just get up from my desk, grab my stick, and grab a ball and go out into our facility and just throw the ball against the wall. I still love to do that. So that's probably why my job is in the lacrosse industry. But I wouldn't be able to do that if I was working at a desk, working a regular job 9 to 5, in a business. So, it's all about falling in love with the game and making sure kids have success and have a level of success early on so they fall in love with it and then from there, just kind of take off.
Now, how about as a coach, you know, you always have to continue, and this is a question that I was asked last week, but you mentioned as a player, it's easy to get up and go work on your game, and you know, you gotta love to be able to do that, and you know, you can grab a couple buddies, or, you know, like you had mentioned, go in your backyard, maybe put your younger brother in a goal and shoot tennis balls at him. Or lacrosse balls, right? But you know, as a coach now, Kev, you know, what are some things that you try to do to make yourself a better coach, you know, and allow yourself to, you know, increase your knowledge, obviously, as the game's growing and changing and rules, you know, but also how do you, you know, relate to these guys and continue to, you know, I guess, add tools to now your coach's tool belt?
Great question. I'm glad you asked that just because I think it's one of the things that needs to be addressed a lot in a lot of ways in the coaching world. I think the best thing we can do as coaches, whether it be at the youth level, high school, you know, or even the college level, is constantly be hungry to find new ways to teach the game, and that doesn't mean just different drills. It means, you know, watching college lacrosse, watching high level lacrosse, and just seeing how players get to the goal or how they dodge, and kind of refining those details. You know, when it comes to the youth level, there's a lot of coaches, I think, or not a lot, but there's some who kind of become very complacent in only teaching the game a specific way. And lacrosse is a game that's just constantly changing. It's whether it be the rules, whether it be, you know, the amount of teams adding new programs, you know, whatever it is. So as coaches, we have to constantly just study the game. We have to strive to get better. You know, personally, I think, you know, we are thinking about lacrosse all day long here. We watch college lacrosse every weekend. So we try to pick things out from what those guys do, and kind of implement it into our methodology here at Titanium. And then the other thing is we try to just constantly educate ourselves by listening and learning from other coaches. I can learn just as much, you know, listening to a guy like Dave Petromala speak, who's one of the best coaches in Division I, as I can learning from maybe a high level youth coach who, you know, has been around kids for a long time and knows how to teach youth players because it's different at different levels. I mean, we develop our players differently when they're in third and fourth grade than we do to our players who are kind of freshmen, sophomore, and juniors in high school, just because we have to tailor our curriculum to that. So the best thing we can do is just constantly be open-minded in finding ways to get better and learning from everyone. Regardless of what your playing background is or what your coaching background is, you know, there are a lot of great lacrosse minds out there who have just studied the game and are just good with kids and know how to teach it, and we can learn from those guys as well.
And you guys there at Titanium, I know just by doing my own homework, and you know, obviously talking with you a lot, but you host your own coaches clinics, and you guys look to better educate your coaches. What are some things that you're teaching your coaches, you know, that can help them become better coaches for their players? And you know, it's not all, you know, skill development as I'm learning. There's some game management, and then there's you know, things motivationally that you need to do. So if there were maybe two to three things that you could point out that you guys do to better your coaches, you know, what are those?
Yeah, we, with young, it varies by age, obviously, but, you know, I think the number one thing, and I kind of already touched on it, is if you have a new player who's never played before, and is just trying the sport, you know, he has to have a positive experience. He has to experience some level of success, number one, to get the kids hooked. And then from there, I think as far as managing the game goes, I think at the youth level, you know, the kids should play all positions. I think they should play attack, midfield, and defense. And then goalie, obviously, is kind of whoever wants to play goalie should play. But you can't force kids to play goalie. But
I was forced. I was forced to play goalie on our rec team. I remember that.
So anyway, I think we'd be doing the kids a disservice if we didn't have them experimenting with every position on the field. Because the reality is, at the end of the day, you know, these kids don't know what position they're going to be when they become a middle school or a high school kid. So that's one thing we do just here at Titanium. One thing we recommend that all youth coaches do is rotate your kids through from attack to midfield to defense. You know, I can use numerous examples of kids who, you know, were even at Hopkins. I was in the same recruiting class and was roommates with a kid named Corey Harnett, who was a highly touted attackman coming out of Sachem in Long Island. And he was a great attackman. He was recruited as an attackman, and he was switched to midfield and then long stick midfield midway through his college career, and he wound up being an All-American. So it happens at all levels, and the more experience we can get for the kids doing everything, you know, at a young age, will benefit them long term. So that's kind of one thing we do, you know, just to help our kids become more versatile and become better players. The other thing I think is important is you have to constantly keep the kids moving. You know, I can't tell you how many youth practices I've gone to in the past where you go and there's, you know, 20 kids standing in one line, and they're all waiting to get their turn to touch the ball. The biggest thing you can do is break the kids up into small groups, have a small player-to-coach ratio, and make sure the kids are getting a lot of reps and a lot of touches. So that's kind of the main thing. You know, as kids go through kind of that early development, going in from youth to middle school, is the kids need to get reps. They need to get touches. They need to have the ball on their stick. They need to know that they're going to get the ball soon rather than wait, you know, in line and wait to get a turn to go. So those are just kind of a few things there that I think are vital in just making sure that the kids are getting a good experience. And that pertains to the high school level as well. You know as well as I do, the more the kids stand around, the more they're going to be goofing off or doing things that are non-lacrosse related. So the more you have them engaged, the more touches they get, the better off they're going to be long term.
Yeah, spot on. You know, Coach, this has been a great interview. Again, I'm here with Coach Kevin Bolin from Titanium Lacrosse, a good friend of mine. You know, without Kevin in my life, I don't think lacrosse would be. So it's been a great opportunity, Kev, to pick your brain on our weekly IL Preps podcast. Before I let you go, though, I do have to ask you a couple more questions. You recently just had a baby girl, am I right?
Yeah.
With the newborn in the house, has there been a Coach Boland, handing over of a lacrosse stick into your newborn's hands, Carly J, yet? And are there any goals there yet set for your newborn?
Not yet. We're just trying to get her to sit up at this point, and not drool all over herself. But I will. I'm sure that there will be a lacrosse stick placed in her hands at some point. I think whatever she wants to do with it is up to her. All I can do is be supportive and make sure she has the right tools to be successful long term. But she's doing really well. Everybody's very healthy. She's getting more and more cute by the day, and she's been awesome for us and my family. So.
That's awesome. You know, coaches around the country, that's a big part of sort of not only becoming, you know, a coach of a team or of a program or of a business like Kevin is, but it's also, you know, your own family that you continue to, grow and continue to, you know, sort of have as your roots. And it's pretty special. You know, you could see nationally a lot of coaches, you know, really involving their families in the games, and really sort of taking in sort of the family piece, not only from just inside their houses, but also to the outer ranks. And I think that's just a great thing for our lacrosse community. So, Coach Bolin, really appreciate your time. I believe, it's due for a happy belated birthday as well.
Yes,
so
I turned 33 yesterday.
33. So how many years would you say you've been involved in this sport? You said since about birth, right? So this is your 33rd year you've been involved with the game?
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, I think I started playing rec lacrosse, I think, when I was in first or second grade. However many years back that was is how many years I've been actually playing organized. But I would say I definitely had a stick in my hand at some point before then.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I could tell you that what you've been doing for the game and around the game is nothing short of great, and you've been a great ambassador for the sport. So it's been obviously a pleasure being a great friend of yours, but also to see all the great things that you've been able to do, particularly in an area that is just is starting to really boom with lacrosse. So, Coach Bolin, thank you again so much for your time. Looking forward to seeing what you're doing and continuing to do with Titanium Lacrosse. And, of course, we'd be happy to have you back on as a guest. So thanks for your time, Coach, and enjoy your spring.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Appreciate your time.
You got it, buddy. All right, and we're off. Thank you to Coach Bolin, and this is our podcast IL Preps closing out. Coach Steven Berger here. I'm looking forward to bringing you guys more action each week as we do this to break down high school across the country. Thanks very much. Have a great day.
Inside Lacrosse Podcast.